to get it just right enough before we can be worthy of entering your presence. You come to us and meet us where we're at. Father, every single one of us needs that. We are all broken. We are all beaten up and bruised. We are all a mess outside of relationship with you. Father, forgive us for thinking that it's up to us. Thank you that you give grace over and over again. So, Father, as we turn to your word now, I just ask, Lord, that you would speak clearly to us, that it would be a time of hearing from you, Lord. Thank you that we heard the word in the worship this morning. We heard the truth of the word. We heard what you think of marriage. We heard what you think of men, what you think of women. Lord, we heard that your eyes see what man's eyes don't see. And Father, we are grateful that you know us, and even though you know us, you love us. So thank you for that. We pray that you would be with us and bless us this morning as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're taking a little jaunt from our time in 1 Corinthians. And for today, I wanted to share from the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And we're going to be rocking through this. So Mark 2, 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left. They had to say, okay, everybody, uchi in, because we've got to make more room. There was no room left. So many gathered, and there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." These five guys had serious faith. I mean, they had serious faith. They were willing to take their friend, four guys and a guy on a mat. Do you have people in your life that are willing to carry you to Jesus? That are willing to pray for you and lead you in the right direction? Think back throughout your life. Was there a mother, a grandmother, an aunt who was praying for you, was sharing truth with you? Guys, was there an uncle, a grandfather, a father, a mother who was speaking truth into your life? Praying for you, carrying that mat. These guys had serious faith. They were determined. And it's interesting to me that it says that there wasn't any room. And the reason was because right before this, Jesus had been given the Sermon on the Mount. And after he'd been given this wonderful, long message, he went and he healed a man with leprosy. And the man, it was covered in sores and just, he was a mess. And Jesus not only healed him, he touched him to heal him. And he said, "You're worthy." And he loved him. And he met not only his spiritual need, but his physical need and his relational need. This man had leprosy. Everywhere he went, he had to go say, "I'm unclean." Yell, "Unclean, unclean." And God heals him. And then Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody except go to the priest and talk to them and tell them what God did and what happened to you." But instead, this guy's so excited, he goes and tells everybody. And so now, anytime Jesus is in the streets, people just come rushing in and they want to be healed. And so Jesus isn't able to teach very much in the streets anymore. He's going to homes and he's going to places kind of on the side. And because everywhere he goes, people want to get to him. And I find it's interesting that it says here, and what's he doing? He's not going for a healing service. He says in verse 2, "So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them." He was doing the most important thing. He was sharing God's truth with the people. And as he's preaching, here's these five guys. And they got to get to Jesus. Have you ever had that burden on your heart? I need Jesus now. I'll never forget when we were dancing in the living room. We were being really kind of goofy, silly as a family, which we do sometimes. And we were all dancing in the living room. And it looks kind of ugly when I'm dancing in the living room, but I don't move as well as I used to. And some would say maybe I didn't move well to begin with. But we're all dancing in the living room, and Alexia stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, "I need Jesus, now!" And I'm like, "Excuse me? You need what?" I mean, right there. And we had to go to the other room, and she needed Jesus right then. And she was willing to interrupt the dance. Can you believe it? When God calls you, you stop what you're doing and you need to come. When you realize that it's time to come to Jesus, you drop what you're doing and you come. And here were five men, and they needed to get their friend to Jesus, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. And as they get there, they're discouraged because, man, how do we get there? And what I love about this, guys, is that Jesus works outside of the program. You know, over and over, what is the New Testament stories about as Jesus is going around? Jesus is doing pretty important business, but as he's going from point A to point B, somebody comes up and needs something. Jesus is a busy guy. He stops what he's doing over and over and over again, and he turns to the person, and he loves them where they're at. And he meets them outside of the program because he has a different program than our program. He came to love the lost. He came to love the lost. He came to love us. He came to love me, to love you. This faith is an amazing faith. First thing that hits my mind is they dared to do the difficult. They dared to actually carry this man. And if you've ever, I'm almost 300 pounds, so I'm hoping that he wasn't as big as me. But these four guys, one time when I had malaria in Uganda, Julia was trying to get a bunch of people to try and carry me to the doctors, and it did not go well. And that's after I had lost a lot of weight from getting malaria a whole bunch of times before. But man, they had the kind of faith that dared to do the difficult, and they're willing to take their friend and carry the mat. And then when they see that they can't get to Jesus, they find the staircase and they carry him up. And then they get there and they're willing to dig through this roof. They dared to do the difficult. God is always open to the needs of people, regardless of whether those needs are physical, spiritual, emotional, relational. Jesus stops what he's doing, and he loves the people. When they come to him, he's always there, and he's going to where they're at too. And he never turns somebody away when they're seeking him. And they dig through the roof. Not only as they're digging through the roof did they dare do the difficult, they dared to risk embarrassment. Because as they're digging through this roof, what is Jesus going to say? Hey! Actually, it's more like this. Hey! What are you doing, man? This is John's roof. What are you thinking? No. And they're digging through this roof. And what are the people thinking? Because when you take your friends to Jesus, people are going to notice, and some people will mock you. Some people will look at you. Some people, if you do it in an unconventional way, some Christians even will say, you're doing it wrong. Excuse me, you're doing it wrong. You're not supposed to break through that roof. It's a bit disrespectful. They risked embarrassment. They risk the disapproval of others. Guys, coming to Jesus, it's tough. And it's going to be, you're going to have some people that don't get it. You're going to have some people that condemn, some people that mock, some people that look just the other way and shake their head in disbelief. But Jesus receives you when you come to him. Jesus receives you. God loves it when his people come to him. Third thing is they dared to serve him at cost to themselves. These four guys that are carrying the mat and this guy on the mat, guess what? Somebody's got to pay for that roof. And it's going to be them. Everybody saw who did it. There's no question. I wasn't there. I have a twin. You just haven't met him yet. They bring it, and it's a cost to themselves. Guys, one thing I want to encourage us, as we bring our loved ones to Jesus, as we share the love of God, it's going to cost us. And you know what? Some people will take advantage of you as you bring others to Jesus, as even as you bring them to meet the Lord and to get a glimpse of him. As you reach out in love, some people have been so hurt in their lives that all they know how to do is look at people as marks, as either I don't want to be a mark or you're my mark. And I'm going to try and figure out how to do this here so that I can get the upper hand. And when we love some people, all they know how to do because of their own brokenness is take advantage of the situation. There's going to be a cost to loving people. Are you willing to pay that cost? Are you willing to take that on yourself? Are you willing to love somebody and give somebody of your effort, knowing that they might just take more advantage, and you give them this much and they take a lot more? And there's no thank you, there's just get out of my way. It costs us to love with the love of Christ. What did it cost God to love? You see, when Jesus came to love us, it cost him everything. Jesus was hung on the cross for my sin and for your sin. But he loved us so much that he was willing to love us that much. He was willing to go to the cross so that his death and resurrection would pay for our sins. If he died and that was it, that's a nice guy doing a good deed. But he's God and he rose from the dead. And that means all the junk in our lives doesn't have to stay the junk in our lives. We don't have to get stuck while we're broken. We don't have to be stuck in the junk. These men had an unbelievable faith. They dared to do the costly. They dared to put themselves on the line. They laid it on the line at cost to themselves. The story goes on. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, the religious leaders. And are the religious leaders, wow, look at that faith of these five guys. Look at their faith. Were they blown away and said, man, and look at what Jesus did. Because how did it end at where we got so far? Jesus says what? Where did it end? In verse 5, it ended with this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Excuse me? Son, your sins are forgiven? Shouldn't he have said, get up and walk. Get up and walk. He doesn't start there. He turns to this man. Go back to verse 3 here. Some men came bringing the paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I love that he doesn't deal with the physical first. He doesn't say, hey, get up and walk. You're healed. He sees the man's heart. Guys, Jesus doesn't just see the stuff that's on the top. He doesn't see the junk that all other people see. He sees what's underneath. He sees your heart and your soul. And we tend to cover up with these masks of this stuff. And Jesus sees through the mask, sees into the heart, sees what's really going on. I can't tell you how many times I've been talking with a friend, someone I care for, or somebody at the church, and through 20 plus years of ministry, and they're sharing one thing, but the brokenness is underneath what they're sharing. And God is saying, Matthew, listen to me, not to the words. Listen. There's a greater brokenness here. Jesus sees that. And he goes to the heart. And he loves them where they're at. Verse 6, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? Why? How dare he? How dare he? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Exactly. Who can forgive sins? No one can. No one can except God. Only God can forgive sins. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. He sees into people's hearts again and again. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praise God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Here's a people saying, we've never seen anything like this. Why was Jesus in this house surrounded by people? Because he had been healing people. They had seen people healed before. What was so amazing was not what they saw, it's what Jesus said. Son, your sins are forgiven. That's unbelievable talk, because it only belongs coming out of the mouth of God. And notice that he doesn't touch the man physically first. He doesn't say, you're healed. He forgives the sins. Why? I believe because it needed to be a healing, a deeper healing than what the man was looking for. He came to Jesus open, but he didn't know how much he needed Jesus. He just knew he needed him. And when he came in such a way that God said, I love you even more than that. I'm not just worried about you physically. I'm worried about you emotionally, relationally, spiritually. I care about the whole person. And I don't want whatever it is to be partial. He says, your sins are forgiven. I love what it says in Matthew as it records it in a little bit different way. It says, Matthew records it as, be encouraged, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Be encouraged. I really feel like part of what that's saying is that this man's problem was not only physical, it was spiritual and emotional. And we know we have a world that is hurting emotionally. Be encouraged. Why does he say be encouraged? Because he's speaking to the whole person. We've got, if you go to the doctor because of depression, you can just get bottles and bottles and bottles of stuff to help keep you quiet. And if boys are a little bit too loud in school, it is so easy to get lots of drugs to shut them up and to make them calm. So that they don't cause trouble. Schools are making it so that you can't play football. So that you can't play games outside at recess. So that it's illegal to throw a snowball. We're meant to be active. We're meant to do things. And when we start going outside to man's wisdom, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Man's idea is, let's medicate it. Let's get rid of the stuff. All these kind of things. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we have ideas of we're going to make things better in our own strength. And that's all that is. Man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. Be encouraged, my son. Your sins are forgiven.
What amazed them was this unbelievable speaking to the truth of what was going on. They had seen miracles before, but not like this. They hadn't seen somebody come and say, "Your sins are forgiven." Guys, what is Jesus saying to you? There is nothing that you've done that's greater than God's love and God's forgiveness. And I believe not only in a God, I believe in the enemy of God. And the enemy is giving these lies. And he's trying to say, "You're so not worth God's effort, God's love. You don't deserve it." And he's trying to lie to us to say, get us to believe the lie that we're unworthy. Guess what? We are unworthy. But the lie is that it's up to us. God is worthy. And it's Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. And my righteousness isn't found in me figuring it out or doing it right or this or that, fill in the blank. My righteousness is in Jesus Christ and his work on my behalf. Jesus did for me what I could not do. And I have to receive what God has done to experience the blessing. To experience the blessing. That's where do you stand? Where do you personally stand with Jesus? Do you know about him or do you know him? Do you kind of religiously believe, like the religious leaders here who were offended because he worked outside of what they expected? Or are you like the people who go, "My goodness, what is Jesus doing? How can... what if he's who he says he is? What if he is God? What if he did come for a purpose? And then after his death, burial, and resurrection, what if he came for me so that I could know him?" Guys, God knows where you're at. You're not fooling him. You can fool me all day long. You can fool your friends and your family. But God knows your heart. He knows where you're at. And he loves you as you are. And we don't have to be stuck in the junk anymore. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. What is it in your life that you need to give over to Jesus? What is it? Not just out in salvation, but what is it in your life that you need to say, "You know what? I've been holding on to this part. And I'm sorry, God, but I choose to give it to you. I choose. It's yours." Because for each person here, that's going to be a different thing. God knows and he wants what's best for you. He died for you so that you could be free from that junk. We've been hearing in song an incredible message about an incredible God who gets involved personally, who cares about you intimately. He receives you as you are by faith through grace. My prayer is that not only for salvation, but also for growing in him and being free from the junk that of the old habits of the old person for faith, that those burdens get put where they belong, on the back of Jesus and not on us. We can't carry them. We weren't built for it. We can't, but God can. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that your word is alive through your Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking it clearly into our minds and hearts. Father, we ask that right now we would be real before you, God. I thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that we get to love you, that we get to see you in a new light, that we get to enjoy you and love you back. Lord, I pray that for some it would be the first time
because they don't know you yet. And they're trying to earn everything. They're trying to jump through the hoops, and they're exhausted. And for others, Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they surrender certain areas of their lives that they've been holding on to. Lord, that this would be the day that we turn to you and we cry out to you and we bring our friends to you and that we love you and we seek you out. Father, speak to us through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you that you are enough. Thank you, Lord, that this world isn't enough and that all that we seek for in this world that comes up empty, it's because it's all worthless compared to knowing you. Father, you are the only real answer to the emptiness that's in our souls and in our hearts. And I pray that we would go home full, filled with you, your truth, your light, your grace. That the junk that we're holding on to wouldn't, that we wouldn't be defined by our sin. We are not our sin. By grace through faith, we are children of God. And we're grateful. Bless us so that you can make us a blessing to many. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys.